Familiar faces this morning. We got some people from Memphis coming out here. Come on. We got the Tri-County Church, of course. And, I'm sorry, y'all know I had to call you out. We got some MC football players over here. MC football. That's right, Reggie and Adrian. If you haven't met them, they're awesome people. Yeah. I'll definitely take some time to get to know them. And, I mean, it is just awesome just to see what God is doing here in Jackson and up in Memphis and all over the kingdom. And I think, you know, the importance of unity is just, it's really shown in this book of Ephesians, which is the book that we're going to dive into today.
All right.
Book of Ephesians, you know, Paul is writing a letter to Ephesus, and you can't read the book without stressing the point of unity, because God just really pours out his heart and shares with the church how important it is to stay unified.
Yes.
And, you know, before I moved to Jackson to go to school here, you know, I lived up in Memphis and I played football for a team called Houston. And I remember my eighth grade year, the high school team went 10-2, and I was thinking, man, I cannot wait to go to this awesome football program. Oh, it's gonna be awesome. You know, we're gonna win a bunch of games, and we were 1-10 my freshman year. And I was like, come on now, like, what's going on, bro? Like, 10-2 to 1-10, like, how does that even happen? Yeah. And I mean, I was a freshman, I'm thinking, man, bro, I'm losing all the way up to my senior year, I'm game of the year. I was like, I don't know what to do. And there was definitely a lack of unity in the church. Not the church, the football team. getting a little ahead of myself now, but there was definitely lack of unity on the football team. You could see that there was a lack of leadership. There was racism on the team even.
Wow.
And, you know, when you combine all those factors, it's really hard to win a game. We had all the athletes. We weren't short on athletes, but it really shows how important it is to be unified. But eventually, as we kind of got older and my freshman class started to become sophomores and juniors and seniors, we got better little by little every year. And we learned what we needed to change. And in order to be unified, there needs to be action taking place. In order to change, some stuff has got to happen. You know,
that's right.
You know, winning a bunch of games is just not going to fall in your lap. And, you know, we learned what we needed to change. We ended up getting a really great strength and conditioning coach who really ingrained in us a hard work ethic and what it means to win and just how to outwork your opponent. And we ended up getting a really good head coach who really changed the mindset. And my freshman year, the team ended up losing in the semifinals this year. So they even did better than my senior class, unfortunately. But, you know, you can definitely see how being unified really helps. And that's going to go ahead and lead us into our first scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. And this is verses 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. So this scripture really just describes where our team was at when we were 1-10. We were definitely dead in our transgressions. No hope in sight, really. We didn't want to listen to the coaches. There was a bunch of gossip on the team. And, you know, all the problems that I listed before, you know, there wasn't much of a sign that we would change. And, you know, I think a lot of that was just people relying on their own strengths and wanting to play for themselves and not worrying about their teammates. Because when you rely on your own strengths, right, and not God and not your other relationships around you, it's really hard to stay unified. And we need to learn what it's like to take action. And, you know, an example I think of is whenever I go to the cafeteria, there's a bunch of food, right? And I could either eat unhealthy or I could eat healthy. And more often than not, there's always a couple people on the team, Reggie, Adrian, I know you know what I'm talking about, that they always get just a bunch of junk food. And it's like, bro, you're complaining over here, like, how come I'm not playing? How come we're not winning games? I'm like, bro, that's why. Like, I'm like, come on now, like, if you want to be great, you gotta be able to eat the right food. And in order to change and see results, you gotta stop eating the junk food and you gotta start eating right. And, I mean, for me, right? Man, I got so many problems. Like, so if I'm watching YouTube and my roommate walks in and he's like, hey man, don't you got that, I'm pretty sure you got a test tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, maybe. He's like, well, shouldn't you be studying? I'm like, dang, bro, okay, fine, I'll study. And for example, you know, I've really been struggling with the kind of music I listen to. Because, man, I know there's a lot of bad rap music out there, but the beat is just so hard. And I'm like, bro, when it comes to like lifting weights in the gym, you're like, man, I got it. Like, it just pumps you up. It gets you motivated. And I was talking to Sydney about this. I'm like, bro, what do I do? Like, I've been trying to stop for so long. And it's just like, I just don't know what to do. And, you know, he's like, bro, you know, you have to start taking some action. You need to start changing. And he showed me a list of some Christian rappers, and I was like, man, this is not the same, bro. You know, like, I know it's cool and everything, but it's just not the same. But he was showing me some of these songs, and I was like, dang, okay, I could get down to this in the weight room before a game, before practice. And he said that the more you listen to this, the more you will enjoy it, the more you'll get used to it, and the more you'll use that as a source to motivate you instead of this worldly, other bad music that is sending out a terrible message.
That's right.
So that's something that I've been working on, something that I've been trying to do to take action.
Amen.
And that's going to lead us into our next verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Jew and Gentile reconciled through Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So here we really get to see what God's plan is for our lives. And, you know, we get to see how the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were separate from the Jews, and how God, he took away that barrier and he wanted to make them one. Mm-hmm. He wanted to unify the body of Christ.
Yes.
He wanted to make them one family. Because unity is so important. And even God had to take action. You know, God had to get some work done. And sometimes I have to think, like, man, Paul, such an awesome brother in Christ. He's over there in prison, writing this letter to Ephesus with an amazing heart for God. God over here doing his thing, being perfect. I think, like, man, what actions am I taking? What actions am I taking to help unify the body of Christ?
Come on.
And that's something I have to ask myself all the time. Because when we're unified, let's be honest, God is going to do amazing things.
Yeah.
And we just gotta just see what he has in store for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, about 3 years ago I went to Alaska for this what do you call it? Hope Youth Corps, right? Come on. I forget. And it was basically where we go to a community and we just help the community. That's what we're there for. And we're building cabins, we're making nature trails, the main thing we did was making a lot of crops and farming. And like when you first get there, you're like, come on, like this isn't McCard. But man, they put you to work, I'm telling you. And I didn't think farming, you know, it was hard labor. I didn't think it'd be hard. I did not. I was like, man, I'm a football player, but it's easy. But man, you're making come on, Holy Spirit, kick in now. And it's like, sweating, man. The mosquitoes are all over you. Like, bro, get me out of here. But, you know, I definitely changed because of it. We were there for a couple weeks, and there was a time where some at-risk youth came, and we were just supposed to love and encourage them. And now this at-risk youth, they were just, you know, kids that didn't grow up in the best circumstances, mm-hmm. right? So we were just supposed to take them in for a couple days and just love them and encourage them and show them what we did, mm-hmm. right? And to them, we were like superheroes, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just happened that they all were girls. There was about 10 to 12 girls. So the guys definitely struggled a little bit connecting with them as much as the girls at camp did. And they, you know, the girls were so pumped up, man. They were living for Christ, and they were like, hey, let's show them what we do at the farm. Let's give them a tour. Let's do all this great stuff. And, you know, us guys, we were like, I don't know about that, man. How about this? And we totally thought we were in the right. We totally thought what we're doing isn't a bad thing. We decided while they're over there doing work, let's go and take a nap. Oh my gosh, I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking back on it, like, what was I thinking, man? I was like, and we were like, it'll just be a 20-minute nap. We didn't even have our phones. We knew we were gonna sleep past 20 minutes. They took our phones every morning, right? So it wasn't a distraction. So we knew what we were getting ourselves into. We knew what we were doing was bad. But we justified why it didn't seem so, but why it was right, because we were tired. Oh, they're all girls, you know, they'll take care of it, you know, like, you know, they connect with each other so well, like, you know, we won't really make much of an impact.
Right.
And we ended up sleeping in. That 20-minute nap ended up taking about an hour.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't even wake ourselves up. A counselor ended up walking in.
Oh, no.
And he was like, oh, boy. He was like, oh, man, what y'all been doing, man? They've been out there in the farm working their tails off. Y'all been sleeping in here for an hour? Come on now. And he called us out, too. He called us out. He used the example of when the disciples fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Which is, and I was like, man, that hit me hard, bro. I was like, come on now. Like, you have to do that to me. But we ended up going back there eventually, right? And we didn't tell them directly, but eventually they just found out pretty quickly, because they were like, where were y'all? You know? And we told them, and, you know, it was a little bumpy, but they were very gracious, you know, very kind. And at that moment, I just felt devastated. I'm just like, man, this is just a glimpse of what it feels like to be ununified.
Ooh.
And I was just like, man, I do not like this feeling. You know, and sometimes we just got to be willing to get a little uncomfortable.
Yep. That's right.
To give up our comfort, to give up some things to be unified, to do what we have to do for the body of Christ.
Right.
And we're willing enough, and when we're willing enough to give up things for Christ, God's got our back.
Yep.
He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
When you say you're going to do one thing, but you do another, it's hard to stay unified.
Yep.
It really is. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, it reads, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. So here, Paul is in prison in Rome, writing to the church in Ephesus. I don't even want to know how bad the Romans treated him, but you can just see his heart for God here. And he's saying he's a servant of God because of God's grace. The situation he's in, which isn't a situation I would like to be in, is because of God's grace. It's almost like he's thanking God, like, God, thank you for me being in prison. Because all that matters is that I'm with you. And he didn't care about anything else. He didn't care about, you know, what people thought about him, or, you know, what, you know, how he might get hurt living for Christ, you know, because all he cared about was his relationship with God.
That's right.
And sometimes I just need to stop worrying about what might happen to me and just go out and do it, just like
Paul.
Yep.
I mean, you know, just stop worrying about what people might think, what people might say, and just go out and live for Christ.
Yes.
You know, I gave the example of my football team earlier at Houston High, how we were bad, and we ended up being unified and doing much better. It's funny because it almost seems like the same thing is happening here at Mississippi College. Before I went here, we were 1-9, then 3-7, and then this year, we were 5-5.
Come on.
That's right.
So we're winning 2 games every year. And although maybe not everyone likes the coaches, maybe not everyone agrees with the offense we run, okay? There's all these little things that people don't like.
Right.
But ultimately, there's always going to be something to complain about.
Yeah.
You know,
always.
Nothing's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, a lot of people probably don't know how good they have it until they leave. And they think, man,
come on.
I really had it at NC. I didn't know how bad it could be at other schools. I'm not saying other schools are bad. You know, you get my point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could definitely see there's, although it's a little rocky, there's definitely change happening. There is something happening. God is definitely moving in some way to help this football team.
That's right.
And hopefully next year we do a lot better than this past year. And, you know, for how Paul, he didn't care about what people thought.
Right.
I think about reaching out to people because thinking about what other people think is one of the main reasons I don't reach out to people when I know I should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but isn't that why, like, we're on this earth, you know, to share
right.
the gospel and to,
right.
like, share our stories of what God has done for our life?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, like, man, like, I'm going to a Christian school already. Like, these people don't want to hear it. They already got their church and their Wednesday night stuff and their Bible groups. I'm like, what's the point that they're not going to want to listen to me? You know? But God doesn't care about your excuses.
That's
you
right.
Know? You can give all the excuses in the world, and they might seem to justify why you don't want to do a certain thing. But God doesn't care. And He loves you, and He'll guide you through the tough times that this world brings, right? But we have to be willing to get a little uncomfortable, to take action, to reach out to people on campus, and just really see what God can do. And the good thing about this is that if you mess up, God's got your back.
Yep.
You can rely on God's grace, right? Because an example that a brother told me was once, you know, he was starting a Bible talk at school, and he was a football player too. So he started a Bible talk, and he said that he really had to focus on relying on God, giving credit to God, because he said, once you give credit to, if you take credit for yourself, when things don't go so well, you're going to end up taking the blame as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're going to end up getting discouraged, and you're not going to want to do it anymore.
Right.
Right.
But when you just take it to God and you give God the credit, when things don't go so well, it's all in God's timing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter necessarily what you did, because God has a plan.
Right.
And a lot of what I've been sharing, you know, it's kind of like, whoa, man, there's a lot of stuff to do. You know, where do I get started? Like, yeah, I'm kind of scared. But here in this next scripture, we get to see, no, don't worry, it might be hard, but God is going to take care of you. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. His intent... verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, which are your glory.
That's right.
And here, I mean, God is just saying, man, be confident. Go all out, because I'm going to give you freedom. I mean, isn't that great? Isn't that, I mean, that just pumps me up. And I think about the scripture, and I think about how I've been wanting to start a Bible talk at my school, right?
All right.
And there's already so many, You know, and I got all the excuses in the world, right? But like I said earlier, God's like, don't care, just go out and do it. I got you back. And there's this guy named Justin. He's a head FCA director at our school. Awesome guy. And I met up with him, and I was like, hey, I've really been wanting to start this Bible talk. What do I do? Where do I start? How do I do it? And he's, this is basically what he said, right? Okay, I'm not going to say no to someone who wants to share, you know, the gospel and help people know Jesus. You do what you want to do, and I'm with you 100% of the way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And, you know, I really feel like that was God just saying,
wow,
bro, just do your thing. I got your back. You are going to succeed. I got your back, man. Don't worry about what, how many other Bible talks there are. You do you. You do your thing, bro. I got your back.
Yep.
And, you know, as Christmas came along, as the beginning of the second semester started to come along, you want to know how much progress I've made starting this Bible talk? Absolutely zero. Absolutely yeah. No progress. And I'm just thinking like, whew, man, this, I mean, I'm kind of busy now. You know, I got football, I got school, right? But I've learned that if you want something to get done bad enough, it doesn't matter what's in your way, you're going to find a way to get it done.
That's right.
Right? Like, I can have all the excuses in the world, but honestly, I'm just lazy, and I'm being sinful, and I'm not doing what God's called me to do.
Wow.
I'm just like, man, like, I really got to get this thing started. So now y'all know. Now y'all know what to ask me the next time you see me. And now y'all got to, man, I know I'm going to regret it later, but that's okay. Now y'all can keep me accountable, and we can build those strong relationships.
All right.
And ask how this Bible talk is going.
That's right.
Amen.
And in this next verse, this is in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Amen.
Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
So, while I'm over here making excuses, right, saying I don't have this resource, I don't have this, I don't have this time, God is saying right here, man, if you just go out and try, he will equip you and he will give you what you need. But we have to let him. We have to let him work in us. And sometimes he's handing out, man. He's handing out the tools. And we say, thanks, toss. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and sometimes, you know, we don't even see it because we're so worried about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if a trainer is telling you, hey, man, you're trying to get in shape. All right. I got your meal plan. I got how much you need to work out, how many hours of sleep you need to get.
Wow.
He schedules the whole thing for you. He's like, here you go. This is what you need to do
right.
to be successful. God
right.
hands you the blueprint.
Wow.
He tells you what you need to do.
Yeah.
And more often than not, I'll be like, thanks, toss. And, you know, God is giving you what you need and the tools you need to succeed, but we just have to be willing to use them.
Yep.
We
yep.
have to be willing to follow them, right? And then I'll complain, like, why isn't anything happening? Probably because you're not using the tools God's given you,
right?
Right? And in order to see change, right, we've got to take action.
Right.
We've got to use the resources that God is showing us.
Amen.
And I recently started this YouTube channel, right? Those of you that don't know, yes, I did. And it is hard. I did not realize, when people like, I watch YouTube all the time, they're like, man, please smash the like button. Please subscribe. It's taken me so long to edit. And I'm like, man, stop. Now I finally understand what they mean. Because the simplest video, 5 to 10 minute video, takes hours of editing.
Yep.
And it doesn't even, and you can't tell by just watching the video, But, you know, especially when the editing's not that good. But, you know, it takes a lot of work, and you want to see that change. You want to see that action. But not only does it take action, it takes perseverance to stay unified.
Yep.
Unified. In order for me to actually see progress on my channel and make better content and make better videos, you have to stay consistent,
yep.
and you have to work at it for a long time.
Mm.
And, you know, I have to stay consistent
yeah.
In order to see progress. And it's up to me. You know, God's giving me the blueprint. He's telling me what I need to do to start the Bible talk, to win football games, to see progress in my YouTube channel, to be able to reach out to people. He's giving me all the tools. I just have to be willing to take them.
Yeah, man.
So this book of Ephesians really, really identifies what it means to be unified and to really be strong as one family. So to God be the glory.
Amen.
That's going to wrap it up. I just really want to thank Sydney for just pouring his heart out to the campus. He's done an amazing job. I want to thank all you guys for coming out and really just encouraging the Tri-County Church. I really think God is going to do amazing things here in the Tri-County Church. And with that, to God be the glory, and we are going to close out with a final song.
Amen.